Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the lad. This is the lad.
The lad.
This is the lad podcast. Well, obviously, I'm just channeling my inner Sam Burgess and James Haskell.
Absolute banter flying around already,
lads.
This is the lads podcast. No, it's the last podcast before the start of the Rugby World Cup. It has arrived nearly. So here we go. Hands in. Pod on three. 1, 2, 3. Pod. Hello, I'm Tim. Morning, Jay. Morning? Why am I saying morning? I'm just...
Are you okay?
I'm in... I might have had a few drinks last night, and I'm slightly in... Shall I start again?
Shall I continue?
Yeah, well, why don't you, Jay?
And I'm with Tim.
No,
this
hello,
is, Tim.
This is...
and Phil. Jay. Hello, Phil.
Hi, JB.
This is weird, and I wonder if it's because I have done my last breakfast show on my radio programme, and now I'm sort of kind of... I can't talk.
You've switched off, Tim.
You can't speak.
You've switched your radio powers off now that you won't need them for a few weeks.
Yeah.
A few months.
Or maybe it's the emotion of being back in front of a microphone and having done my last radio show.
Anyway. You're actually very lucky because Chris Moyles doesn't like rugby. We did contact him, but he didn't know anything.
Moving on. Right. Thank you very much for downloading the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. It is the last one we're doing before the World Cup. And just to remind you, we are going to be doing extra podcasts through the World Cup. I'm so excited that it is here.
Excited and a bit nervous.
And nervous.
No one enjoys it, do they? It's just a rigmarole we must go through.
Part of me just thinks, let the bad news, because I don't expect England to win it, let the England bad news get out of the way early, go out of the group stage, and then I can just relax and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
You want to try being Welsh, opening the paper every day, hoping there's not another new injury. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. We shouldn't have these big tournaments. They're bad for your health.
Well, let's deal with that first, then. We'll go around the game with some stories and... Last week's podcast, we discussed it in the light of the Wales-Italy game, and the worst fears of JB were made a reality when Reece Webb and Lee Halfpenny confirmed as being out of the Rugby World Cup.
Devastated. Absolutely devastated. As much for them as anything else.
Oh, yeah. Heartbreaking. It's awful, awful position to have gone through all of that pre-season, the pre-Rugby World Cup warm-up games, and then the last hurdle.
Yeah, Italy. Against Italy, look, there's my star goal kicker with his leg heavily strapped. What should we do with him? I'll keep him on.
In the 72nd minute.
Martin Castrovic-Giovanni said, when he was asked about the injuries, he said, well, it's a necessary risk that Wales had to take. And I know that you don't agree, JB.
No, not even slightly.
I do.
I do,
particularly given their group. Now, New Zealand didn't need them because they've got their group as a warm-up. But Wales, albeit they've got the Uruguay game, but they're straight into England, Australia, Fiji. They need to be on top form.
Yeah, it is a dangerous game, I guess. And the plus part of this is we've got a young lad whose name is escaping me again from the Scarlets. Gareth Davis. Who, to me, is primed to have a breakout World Cup. And because no one's seen him, really. No one watched the Pro 12, so I've not seen him there. And no one will expect it, and he's got his stage, and that'll be fine. Or big, sexy... comes back, runs a show, and in addition to that, we're going to have to play slightly differently, so there'll be no game tape on the combinations and all the rest of it. We'll be fine, we'll be underdogs, and we like it there.
This is true. I'm going to play another bit of music now, because it's connected to a video that announced the signing of Brian Majati at Sale Sharks. It's the Jurassic Park theme.
Is it? it is.
Oh, no, that's not. That's Rugby World. That's still World in Union. This is the Jurassic Park theme. There we go. There was a Jurassic Park-style video made by Sail Sharks to announce the signing of Brian Majati. You could have gone to that trouble of making that amazing video, and it was pretty cool. It's just him in a big freight crate and some scared workers opening it up and Brian Majati storming out of it. There's that, but you could also just listen to the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast about 3 months ago when we told you first people, and I even got contacted by the Sail Sharks media guy saying, well done on being the first person to get that scoop on Brian Majati.
Exactly.
Because we saw him having some barbecue ribs in Manchester.
Are we going to put up with Brian Majati's YouTube videos now for the next... How long is his contract?
I don't know, but he's been he's been doing those videos for ages.
Yeah, they're good. I like them.
Life of Brian ones are okay, but the one where he gets his visa is so cringeworthy.
That one was a bit cringeworthy.
And I can't believe that Steve Diamond's going to stand for this. I just can't see it, him and Diamond kind of meshing.
Right, I'm going to move on as well. Charles Piatow is signed for Wasps for the 2015-16 season. Having not made the New Zealand World Cup team, he's had that little bit of time in between joining Ulster and now, and he's decided to fill that with Wasps.
Brilliant idea.
That's brilliant for the Premiership.
It is. Tremendous. I'd worry, though. I'd really worry if I was an Ulster fan.
Why is that, JB?
What, with all that banter flying around from Hask? Is he not just going to love it?
Haskell,
high-fiving with Ashley Johnson every day, I would love it there.
Absolute banter flying around already.
Exactly right.
Fortunately, he has already signed for Ulster for the following season.
Well, these things are never done until they're done.
Tonga Weir did sign for Saracens from Northampton as well.
Correct.
Yeah. He got out of that.
And Goniva signed for Cast for last season and didn't go. And Matthew Tate signed for Leon, was it?
It was Leon. No.
The banter could well keep
him
here. Anyway.
But what I'm more worried about is the Wasp back three next year. So their starting back three is most likely going to be Piatow at 15, Christian Wade, and All Black and New Zealand Sevens player Frank Halai.
Also, outside centre, the lightningly rapid Elliot Daly.
Yeah.
They need some more pace, don't they?
Well, Joe Simpson at scrum half.
Oh, my word.
Wow.
And Gopeth pulling the strings at 10.
Yeah, and
it's a hell of a backline.
And you've got that nippy little kid who's going to have some game time at some point.
Lazowski.
Sounds like a New York cop.
Who could...
Right. Someone who's handed their... To use that analogy, someone who's handed their gun and badge in, and we should... Let's have a toast to Andy Goode.
Let's have lots of toast for Andy Goode.
There's a bottle of Corona just being clinked together, and we're raising a Corona for Andy Goode. We talked about this on last week's podcast as well. He's officially retired from the game.
Such a shame.
It is a shame.
Last night I was at the supermarket buying some beers, and bottles of Sol were on offer for, I think it was £8 for 12, and Corona were full price, and I obviously...
Corona. So. I hope he does land his dream job as a Corona rep. I mean, he must be sponsored or something because he loves the stuff.
Well, Andy Goode, you can come on the podcast anytime if you want to fill a spare week in. We'd love to have you on. Although the restraining order will mean that you have to do that from the other side of the studio from JB. Let's get on to the Rugby World Cup then. It's arrived. We're here and the opening game is England against Fiji. We should preview this game. We should talk about what we expect or hope the England lineup to be and talk about England's chances. So how much of the team that did actually quite well against Ireland do you expect to start against Fiji?
Virtually all of it.
Yep.
I would definitely
have Tom Wood.
I think so.
Number 8 is an interesting one. I wonder if I think it will be Ben Morgan.
I think so. I think he's played his way into it.
Yeah. And he offers a little bit more all-round than Billy.
He'll be excellent off the bench for 20, by the way. Same as Mako.
Yeah, definitely.
Who do you think they'll go for in second row?
Second row is the other one. Whether they'll do Laws and Launchbury, Laws and Parling, or even possibly Parling and Launchbury.
I'm going to go Laws and Parling. Oh, I don't know, the physicality of Fiji might mean you go Launchbury.
If Atwood is available, I'd pick Atwood, right?
But he's not in the 31-man squad.
Wait for it. He has been replaced by Kroos. Now, if you were going to replace a man of the stature of Atwood, he better play. So don't be surprised if you don't see Kroos play, because every time he has played for England, I think he's been very, very good. And if you think you're a bit lightweight, if you're Pauling and Laws, I mean, Launchbury's great, but he didn't quite work out with Laws. I think Laws has got to play because he's the form guy.
Yeah.
Why not Cruz?
I think the back line's dead easy. Picks itself. Ben Young's played himself into the nine shirt.
Yeah.
Despite having a question mark over him previously with us. The centre partnership is fine. It's going to be Barrett Joseph, despite having too many games together. Not having too many games together, even.
Yeah.
And the wings, Johnny Mays played himself into it, and you've got to play Anthony Watson.
So oh,
definitely.
Anthony Watson's brilliant.
And Mike Brown at 15.
Alex Good.
So there's the forwards. It's really only...
There is some noise there about how well Owen Farrell's playing. They keep saying he's playing his best rugby. I mean, I don't know what that would look like. But they keep saying he's playing his best rugby and he's putting pressure on Ford. And Ford...
They're always going to talk that up.
Yeah.
Ford is... Farrell is a very good player.
Agreed.
And he gets some undeserved stick, in my opinion. He doesn't have the full range of skills that Ford does.
Nope.
But you can argue in these big, tight, final, like, knockout games, he's got a lot more experience and he's arguably a little bit better for that kind of rugby. But I would still start Ford.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, some very wise men, well, us three actually, said it wouldn't be bad to see Ford and Farrell play in the same setup. But it's just a shame that they haven't actually actioned that yet.
Yeah, I would have liked to see that, a 10 and 12 combination.
I think it's a bit of a wasted opportunity, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're quite right. And then you can have, you replace Burgess with Sippers and he's the
thing
third
is, it doesn't really matter who you play for England because it's not about players, it's about culture. It's about culture and believing that you can win and behaving well on nights out. That's
now,
what it's
about. Where's this come from, JB?
I'm sick of hearing about culture. Over the last week or so, sorry to go off on a tangent.
No, you're all right.
There has been nothing but culture. I mean, someone sent us a text before. Do you see that? Something along the lines of our cultural guidelines for England, or culture is king. Graham Henry wrote in the National Press this week how he changed the culture of New Zealand. New Zealand now are laughing their faces off because they are currently practicing real rugby skills. Well, people like Stuart Lancaster are thinking they're copying New Zealand. All they're doing, New Zealand is feeding us misinformation, and everyone thinks that they're all they're doing is actually practicing real rugby.
New Zealand do have a great culture, but they also have the fittest, strongest, highest skill base.
Exactly right.
Most depth, most talented players, most experience.
Here's a culture for you. You get loads of good players.
So if you have all of that, then the culture...
It does my
head. It comes along with it.
I want to take the England culture, give it to the Uruguayan players, and see if they still lose by 70 points. So it makes any difference, because it won't... And it goes on, you know, it goes on. Because Graham Henry said... He had to change culture because he came in and there's drinking games being played in the court session by two senior guys, Marshall and Mertens, I think he said.
Yeah.
Was that? Oh, Spencer. Spencer.
Right? Carlos Spencer, yeah.
Now, I'm not being funny. Lads going out drinking is how you create a culture. People have stormed beaches after going out drinking. The British Army do it on a regular basis and encourage the boys to go out, get hammered. That's how you do it.
Let the boys party.
Let the boys play! Exactly. Exactly right. I just hate it so much. I hate it.
Good.
Thanks, Jay.
That's all right. I enjoyed that rant. I enjoyed that.
Well, just as long as we believe we can win, it'll probably happen.
Fiji are going to be a tough opponent, and I don't think anyone's underestimating them. It is going to be ferocious,
isn't
it?
Oh, I think they are. I think we're so busy talking about Australia and Wales and England that kind of how good the Fijians are has kind of gone under the radar. I think all three big teams, maybe internally, they don't think it's a given, but all the fans certainly
And
think.
It's not just how good they are. I think it's the unpredictability of the way that they play and the ferocity and they're just charging out the line and smashing someone.
They
really know how to sort of break a game up and not let England play a pattern or any team that has a solid pattern structure. They don't let them settle.
Well, I'm not sure they know how to do it. I think they just do it. I think it's just, you know, innately in their DNA
and off they go. They go out and say play of any team, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them and Samoa, I think, are going to be a nightmare. A nightmare for a lot of teams. Which group is Samoa in?
South Africa, Scotland.
South Africa, Scotland.
They might go through, you know. They're the ones.
It looks like them or Scotland. From what I've seen, I think Scotland have got the edge.
A bit more organised, a bit more structure.
Going back to the Ford-Farrell debate, Farrell is probably better against Fiji because you want to play that controlled, set-piece orientated territory-based game plan. You don't want the broken field running. But I'd rather see Ford play because he needs to get more experience of controlling a game in that manner. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see who they do start
with.
He's
going to know what it feels like to have people charging up your channel. it's going to be ferocious. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's hell of a World Cup.
I've got a feeling. I mean, I don't know. I've not seen them play. I've got a feeling Fiji might try and offload the ball a little bit. Maybe run it from places you wouldn't expect.
You reckon the Leone Nakarawa, the Glasgow Warriors second row, do you reckon he'll be putting a few offloads in?
The most wonderful game plan in the world. Just let him offload. Let him do whatever he wants. Give him the ball.
But we've said it before. Fiji have had longer before this World Cup than they have before virtually any tournament in their history of playing. Mm-hmm. So they will be better drilled and better conditioned and better all round.
A bit of a poison pill, though.
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, better condition is great. But you know, imagine Warren Gatland coaching the Fijians. That would be an absolute unmitigated disaster.
No.
Same side pattern. You're too skillful, out you go. They'd be massive.
But it's the nuts and bolts they'll have been able to fill in structure-wise and line-out stuff. I don't think they're going to change their game plan to Gatland ball, but I think they might just have a little bit more finesse at set piece and things like that and combinations and stuff rather than just kind of play what you see.
Well, Samoa are interesting at the moment because they've just had an injury to one of their front row. We're going to talk about that later?
Talk about it now.
Yeah. Manapola. And what do? They bring in the cornerstone of one of the biggest packs ever fielded in Census Johnson. Their set piece must be quite good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Anthony Peronese is in there.
Oh.
We've spoken about it before, but the Census Johnson, who retired for international rugby just before signing a new 3-year deal at Toulouse.
I wonder.
And then has come out and played against New Zealand in Samoa and then is now playing in the World Cup.
If you've got Census Johnson and Anthony Peronese as the prop, do you think there's a higher paid pair of props in the World Cup?
That's a good question. I would have thought Cole and Marla will be highly paid because they're English.
Mm-hmm.
Ayerts will undoubtedly be very highly paid.
Yep. The Frenchman.
Well, they've got loads of them. So they might not be like right at the top of their game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Slimani's kind of come up through the ranks who might start a tight end. Uini Antonio was playing like Division 2 with La Rochelle.
Whereas Census Johnson has sneakily took all the cash to retire. So that must be a fair chunk, right? And Peronese plays in Bristol. So,
yeah.
You know, just name your figure.
give me a checkbook, leave it there.
Yeah, that's a list there. Highest paid pair of props.
You're probably not far off with that.
Stuart Lancaster, this might endear Stuart Lancaster to you a little bit more, JB. He said this week, when he's letting his guard down a little bit, and he said, favourite film, Any Given Sunday.
My favourite film too.
Yeah.
There you go. Maybe you could be film buddies. He's not coaching Wales, though.
I want to know what the other England players' favourite films are. I imagine James Haskell's.
Absolute banter flying around already.
Lads. I reckon something like Top Gun, surely.
Yes, definitely.
Something with like boys taking tops off, being lads.
A little bit homoerotic.
A little bit, but not too much.
Just a nice balance.
Just a nice amount
just
of homoerotic.
Just guys hanging out.
Just on the right side.
Yeah, exactly.
Too homoerotic.
Sam Burgess, what do you reckon for him?
Gladiator.
Oh, yes. Russell Crowe.
His
good mate, Rusty Crowe.
What are the Russell Crowe films all there, just off the top of your head?
A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. No. That wouldn't be Sam. That doesn't feel like Sam, does it? Doesn't feel like Cowhead. All right, so we're back in England to win comfortably, I would have thought. Well, no. I reckon England will win by 10.
Against who?
Fiji. I would say England by 10 and pray for no injuries.
So true.
I don't think you're far wrong with your score. That I think you're a little bit wrong with the outcome. So it's still going to be an England win, followed by a press firestorm of how unprepared they are, because the Fijians are going to do very, very well.
Mm.
That's where I'm at.
Win will be a win. Do you know what? I was casting my eye over the schedule of games for Paul A, and I can't believe we may listen to the podcast, subscribe, make sure you listen to future podcasts, because I think we will be able to announce soon that we will have tickets for Wales versus Australia to give away as a prize. Now, even as an England fan, that's one of the games, that could be the game in this pool I'm most excited about watching, because so much is going to be on the line in that last match between Wales and Australia.
It's going to be mega.
For England, for Wales and Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is serious stuff. I mean, I want to make lots of jokes about it now, about, you know, how we might try and fix something or something. But this is deadly serious. The compliance that we've got to go through just to get these tickets. So it will be announced next week.
Yeah, it won't be someone called Bonathan Jeardmore
who wins it.
Just look at the toilet, lads.
Put on a voice. Yeah, so that's coming. And of course, we want you to join our fantasy league, the ESPN Fantasy Rugby League. Please do join our private league. You might as well give the code, Phil.
Give it in a jingle way.
I'm not sure I can do that, Jamie.
Pretty hard to do that. I'll give you a bit of music that makes it feel a bit like a jingle as you're saying it anyway. Hold on a minute.
My natural rhythm will take over when I announce this. Come on, load.
I'll do it again. Okay, ready?
Wait.
Hold.
Wait. Right, I've got it.
Right, you got it. Off you go then, Phil.
So the ESPN code is 112-4114. -3597.
What you need is... You're not chunking enough.
More chunks.
112-4114. Yeah. 3597.
Done.
112-4114-3597.
That's
112-4114-3597.
It's not that hard, is it, Phil? Why don't you just wrap it out?
It's not. It's a lot of digits going on there in that code. I don't understand what ESPN are up
to. What's wrong with 81262?
Yeah, I know. So anyway, ESPN Fantasy Rugby Code. What we have done is on our Facebook page and on our Twitter account page, we have pinned those details. So if you just go open up a web browser, because we've had some people not actually been able to find it. If you open up a web browser and just type in twitter.com/rugbypodcast, rather than going into a Twitter app, twitter.com/rugbypodcast, you will see it there as our top pinned tweet, the code. We would love you to join. Last time in the Six Nations, we had the biggest league out of any league in the world, and we'd like to keep it there, and we're getting some awesome stash as a prize. We will be sourcing. Get in touch. JB, a little brief interlude. I gather you were voice spotted at a rugby match today.
I was. The second time I've been voice spotted. Once was in Chicago. And the second time was in the stairwell at Broughton Park. A guy from Old Winions, Ross, came up to me and said he enjoyed the podcast, which filled me with pride. So,
What were you saying at the time? Were you ranting about something at the time? And that's why I recognised.
Let the boys play!
Ranting about Stuart Lancaster.
Yeah, I don't know what I was saying. Probably something incredibly inspirational. I was doing a warm-up. So, yeah. Nice to meet you, and it was nice.
Cool. We have got a few more things to come up on the podcast today. We are going to be doing our Barbarians 15. Now, this is something we talked about a long time ago, and Carl Heyman even got on board and wanted to do it. This is where you pick a team.
Carl Heyman will do anything for money, though.
Out of all the rejects, the people that have been not selected by their countries, and try and create the best 15 out of them, we'll be doing that in a second. We're also going to be picking our favourite World Cup stash, of all the stash on offer, before we go into that, I will just say, once again, those South African boys in their blazers.
Bravo. Bravo.
That is rugby right there.
I
love it.
It absolutely is.
It's awesome, isn't it? We tweeted a picture of two other nations.
Oh, Canadians and Fijians.
Yeah.
We are so far ahead of the rest of the world of sports when it comes to off-field attire.
You're right.
Marvellous.
Why is this not more? Why do we not get more coverage of just the stuff people wear? It never gets mentioned in games. You just want a commentator to go, just, you know, when there's an injury, they could just make a conversation, go, beautiful kit that, isn't it? I like the I like the detail on the crest. You know what I mean?
Oh, and crests. I mean, I got a lot of feedback this week from my old-fashioned crests, which you thought...
No, do you know what? I'm willing to hold my hands up and stand corrected. Last week, I thought JB was just barking up the wrong tree, saying that he wants a return to the traditional rugby club crests rather than these kind of...
newfangled tigers or
whatever. Newfangled marketing logos. Yeah. And there's been a lot of support for that, JB. I'll give you credit on that one.
Thank you very much. So I thought, what was our last campaign? Well, it was basically types of footwear to wear on carpet. It's not really, you know, that monumental. This is the real one.
Did you see, just on that, on the footwear, the O2 England advert?
Yes.
The cartoon, the animation.
Oh, yeah, they were wearing trainers.
Yeah. A few people tweeted us.
But were they on their way to a game?
Well, they were in full kit.
So just to fill in, it was an animated video, and in the animated video where they didn't even have to literally wear. They could have worn boots or shoes and it wouldn't have made any difference because it's an animated picture.
Could have worn rocket boots, Tim.
And they chose to wear trainers.
They are rather large, those England boys.
Yeah, they've been working out.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they would allow that match to continue.
grotesque mismatch.
Yeah, it should never be allowed to happen.
All right, well, listen, so before we do all that, Phil has got a quiz prepared for us.
Ooh, I have.
So what are the ins and outs of this quiz then, Phil?
It's a bit different to the usual format, Tim.
Yeah.
Are we answering questions?
Kind of. It's a higher or lower, so you take it in turns.
Right. Oh, okay.
Wow. I've got a list of 13 players who are all on the international top try scoring list.
Oh, God.
I'm going to give you the first one and how many tries he scored, and then I'm going to alternate. Who wants to go first?
Tim will go first.
Oh, thanks, Jay.
Tim can go first.
Very kind of you, mate.
It's all right, mate.
I'm going to alternate, and you've got to tell me if the next player is higher or lower in tries. So you'll get six each, and then we might have a tiebreak if we get to it. So the first player is Philippe Sella. Mm. Okay. Just on this as well. I've tried to give at least a 10% difference between each player. So I've not gone for someone who's got...
One more or one less.
Yeah, 25 and then 26 international. There's always a bit of a gap.
And this is just international tries, not World Cup tries
this
or anything like that?
This is international tries, not World Cup, nothing else. So Philippe Sella, anyone know how many he's got roughly?
I'm going to go with...
32?
25?
Yeah, 30. He's got 30 international tries.
Oh, good start.
So, next one for you, Tim.
Yeah.
Joost van der Vesthuizen, higher or lower than Philippe Sella?
Oof.
Lower.
Is incorrect.
Oh.
Yes!
Joost has 38 international tries.
You know
wow, that's a lot.
Awkward that you didn't know that.
JB.
Yes, mate.
Tommy Bowe.
Lower.
Lower.
I'd say lower.
Is correct. He's got
get in
28 international tries. Tim.
Yeah.
Gareth Thomas. Higher or lower than 28 international tries?
Lower.
Is incorrect.
Incorrect. This is going great.
He had 38, Gareth Thomas.
Yeah.
Wow.
JB. Christian Cullen.
Oh, less.
Lower?
I'd say lower.
Is incorrect.
Oh,
wow.
Really? Because his career wasn't the longest.
And it was back in the day.
Yeah, he got 46 tries.
Oh, my word.
46 tries from 58 test matches.
Oh, wow.
Christian Cullen.
Wow.
So Gareth Thomas played nearly twice the number of tests. He played over 100 tests.
Does that mean Cullen's twice the player Gareth Thomas is?
Wow.
No, because his strike rate is half that.
At his best, he was...
No,
so he's
double.
Half the player. Christian Cullen is twice the player that Gareth Thomas is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, did you say it the other way? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
Tim.
Yeah.
Jason Robinson. Higher or lower than Christian Cullen?
It has to be lower.
Lower is correct.
Oh, no.
One all.
One all. Only 30 for Jason Robinson.
Right.
I can see that.
Because I guess he didn't have that.
So, like 50 caps, 60 caps?
That longer career. Jason Robinson had 56 caps.
Yeah.
Next JB, yeah. Richie McCaw.
Fewer.
I love the fact you said fewer.
is that correct?
Fewer. That's right. There was even an episode. What was it?
Stannis
Baratheon in Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
That was awesome. Corrected him.
Yeah. You are correct.
Of course I'm correct.
Because it's... I'm just saying he's correct in saying that it's fewer because it's a discrete.
Oh,
we're talking about a discrete data set. You can't have a continuous number of tries.
Love it.
You are also correct.
Yes!
Richard McCaw has 27 international tries.
2-1 JB. 2-1 JB next.
2-1 JB. Tim, next.
Yeah.
George North.
Ooh.
Then what, 28 did you say?
27 is Richard McCaw.
Less. Fewer.
Fewer, lower is correct.
Yes.
25.
2-2.
2 all. JB, you have Vincent Clerc.
Ooh. Ooh. don't know why you're like that.
I normally get that reaction when I think about Vincent Clerc.
Vincent Clerc. So he is something like France's most capped winger, is he not? He's right up there. He's fairly old as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to say he has more.
More than 25?
I think he has.
Is correct.
Get in.
3-2, Jay. Vincent Clerc has 34 from 67 test matches.
Come on, then.
Tim, Chris Latham.
Oh.
And 34.
Now, he played quite a lot of games for Australia, and he had that deceptive pace.
Yeah,
he looks like the sort of guy that should not have scored many tries, but I reckon he'll be higher.
But he did split all his time with Burke.
Higher.
Higher than 34?
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Is correct.
Oh!
Yes! 3-3.
That's a good one. He had 40 tries from 78 tests.
Wow,
that's good. That's every other game.
Yeah.
Great effort.
Just better than. JB.
Okay.
Josh Lucy.
Less. Fewer.
Fewer? Is correct.
Oh, 4-3.
Only 22 tries.
Yeah, wow. I thought so. I don't think he's got... He might have that many caps, but I don't... He played in that many good teams outside of the World Cup team, because it kind of went on a big decline after that.
Right, cool. Okay. How many have we got left? 4-3 to Jay.
4-3 to Jay. You've got wait, who you just did the goal? One more each.
Wow.
I don't think I can lose, can I? I can't lose.
Nice.
Yes.
So, Tim.
Yeah.
Mamuka Gorgodza.
Oh,
higher or lower than Josh Lucy?
22.
Oh, playing in those junior leagues.
See, I was going to say those matches against tier two nations.
He's just smashing it up when he's released. I'm not trying to put you off.
I'm. What the hell? I'll say higher.
Higher.
Yeah.
Is correct.
Oh, yes! I knew it'd be correct. It's just too obvious
Come
not
on.
To be correct.
24. 24 tries.
Oh, please pick one that's close to it. Higher.
Now, this may or may not be easy for you, Jay, but Mark Kwaito.
More.
Higher or lower than Mamuka Gorgodza?
Higher.
I can tell you categorically that Mark Kwaito scored fewer tries internationally.
Wow!
Than
a boring, boring draw.
Gorgodza. So we need a tiebreak question.
Oh, wow.
No! I've already lost one game today by the narrowest of margins.
Have you got a tiebreak question?
I've got the whole list of top try scoring players here. So I'm going to pick someone, and whoever gets closest to the number of tries that they have scored,
I'll pick someone unknown. Go on.
I'll pick someone who everyone has heard of, and I will preface it by saying Joe Rococo has scored 46 international tries from 68 tests.
My God.
That's the piece of information you've got. And cousin, Sivivartu.
That was a question.
Sivivartu.
How many tries did he score for New Zealand?
So
Rokokoku scored 46 from 68 tests, and I want you to write down a number.
Jay can write it, and I'll say it first. How about that?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't have a pen. I will say 29.
And JB, you have said?
43.
I can tell you we do have a clear winner who is four away, and it is Tim Cocker.
Oh, no! So what did you get? 24 or 33?
33.
33
from
48
tests.
Do you know what I feel like right now? I feel like a mainstream Labour Party leadership candidate.
You feel like Andy Burnham?
I feel like Andy Burnham, a loser.
Very good, Tim.
That was a good quiz, that, Phil.
No! Every time!
All right, so the World Cup is on our doorstep, and how do you think Wales... I mean, JB, let's talk about Wales. They got their first game this weekend as well. We will have a podcast, by the way. We're going to be doing it from the International Rugby Centre.
Yes, we are.
A.K.A. Jay's basement.
Mm-hmm.
hopefully, immediately after we have watched the England game, so it'll be from his basement, we'll have the England game fresh in our minds, but we will also cast our mind forward towards Wales. But just briefly, how are you... seeing the Welsh boys shaping up, and what are your thoughts?
In a weird way, we will be more comfortable with our situation. We don't really do well with high expectations. We're a nation of underachievers anyway, so that kind of tallies. But when we are not expected to do well, that's when we tend to shine. So maybe having these injuries isn't the worst thing in the world. I mean, it's awful.
And you're playing Uruguay as well.
Well, yeah, positives and negatives. So you've got Uruguay, which you can get a few players, a bit of game time, look at the wider squad, blah, blah, blah. But it's also potentially another game to get some more injuries before tournament.
I mean, if Bigger goes down, just let's pack up and go home. There is no point in carrying on.
Yeah, I've had some good news by saying that Samson Lee and Liam Williams should both be fit for the opener.
I mean, who would have thought Liam Williams would be this important?
I know.
You know, he's a nice, nice player, but he's not that nice.
And a 23-year-old, 24-year-old tight head with a dozen caps, maybe, Samson Lee?
Oh, I thought you meant the other tight head who's about the same age with one cap or two caps.
A couple of caps.
You know?
France, Italy, that is one of the interesting matches in the first weekend of games at the Rugby World Cup. I think you sort of you'd have to identify England, Fiji on Friday, the only game obviously on Friday, but a tasty game. France, Italy on the Saturday is probably the pick of the games in terms of competitiveness.
It would be. But I understand Sergio Parisi is very badly injured, right?
He's out of the first game. He had he had an operation, albeit a minor one, to drain a hematoma sustained in the Wales game. A hematoma is just a big bruise.
Dead leg?
Yeah, dead leg.
But has anyone else had a dead leg? I've met loads of lads who have. I've never had one.
I've had some horrendous legs where the following week you still can't walk properly, can't straighten your leg.
Crikey. No, I've had lots of knocks, but I've never had a bad dead leg.
I guess the bigger the muscle, the deeper the bruising.
Yeah.
I guess so. You know, your legs wouldn't have been affected.
Yeah.
JB.
There you go.
And on the Sunday, New Zealand, Argentina, I mean, you'd think it'd be a procession, but that'd be a pretty tasty game.
Well, there are. Not necessarily. I mean, that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That'll be more competitive than we think.
It will be competitive. New Zealand will win by 20 points.
Yeah. Probably score the last 3-3 until 60 minutes to go, and then New Zealand bump four tries.
New Zealand have never reached a World Cup final in the Northern Hemisphere.
Fact. No, I did not know that.
I can imagine that was waiting for you to have said at some point, Phil.
I did read it this week.
Yeah.
It is a very good fact.
Well, I went to the France-New Zealand game when France knocked them out in the Millennium Stadium, which was
in 2007.
Absolutely.
Did you go
awesome.
To that?
I did go to that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You were at that game?
Yeah, me and my wife went. And I vowed from then on never to take my wife to any more rugby games.
I was going to say, if I'd have said that, you'd have gone, that's not rugby.
I learned my lesson. but we just met. I was still trying to impress her. And it was amazing because I think it's El Saud picked up the ball and he ran backwards diagonally.
Oh, at the end of the game.
His own line. And I can't remember if he kicked it dead or he kicked it out, but it was a magnificent game.
All right. One of the best games I've ever watched, not because of the free-flowing rugby, but because of the defence and how important it was and the upset and everything.
Well, a good friend of the pod, Bryn Williams, phoned me the other day after watching New Zealand-France from 97. Is it 97? No.
99?
No, the 95. Right. And he said, watch it again, because it's actually one of the poorest games of rugby that you'll watch. So in your mind, you've got this free-flowing, enterprising rugby. But actually, when you watch it, it just shows how far on the game's come.
Oh, yeah. It's tough watching, like, pre-professionalism when they still... The line-outs knows no lifting.
It's weird.
It's
Although scrimmaging's amazing.
It's just a lottery.
The scrimmaging. Mm. The props run into position as quick as they can. Yeah.
Form up on their own without the ref. And it's gone.
I can't help but think that is safer.
Oh, yeah.
Because now we've regulated it, and here you are, Tim, a lesson in regulation for him. Now that we've regulated it, you have these giant hulks of men because it's such a specific action.
The regulation has come in because it was going that way.
Massive hits.
Yeah, they were finding ways around it to get the hit, so they had to bring the regulation in to stop the hit. It's chicken and egg, isn't it? The regulation came in to stop what had naturally happened.
It's hard to say. I mean, can you imagine the players now running in? But mind you, because they didn't have the chance to set and stuff, you didn't have these perfectly formed scrums with all the power coming through.
But I bet you got fewer collapses.
Yeah, I bet.
Here's a question. Is there three questions, right? One, how far will England go? I will ask us all each in turn. Two, pick your winner. And bearing in mind, I've just said New Zealand have never got to a World Cup final in the Northern Hemisphere. I thought it's worth asking again. And third, who is your kind of dark horse? It's hard with a Rugby World Cup to pick a dark horse, I know, because realistically, there's probably only seven teams that could win it, realistically, seven, eight teams. So it's hard to pick a dark horse, so you might have to pick one of those. But even so,
yeah.
JB, how far do you think England will go?
I don't think they'll get out of the group. I don't know. Every time you ask me, it's slightly different. Yeah, they will get out of the group, actually. That's insincere. I don't know. And I think they'll go out in the quarters.
I think we're going to go out in the semi-finals to Ireland.
So you think we'll win the group?
I think we'll win the group.
Oh, if you get to Ireland, I don't think there's any stopping you. I think you get stopped by coming second in the group and going out to...
That's the way I see it as well.
England are going to come second in the group.
Second in the group.
And go out to New Zealand.
And go out to either South Africa in the quarters or New Zealand in the semis.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I see it.
100%.
But I still think England have got a good chance of going through, winning the group. I think they've got as good a chance as anyone. Mm-hmm. And probably now a better chance on Wales, given the injuries, and then would play either Ireland or France, depending on who wins that group in the semi-final.
Yes. So, pick your winner.
I'm gonna go with one which isn't popular, but I'll explain my reasons. I fancy Australia.
Okay.
I mean, I'd say it's not popular. I mean, they're a tri-nation team and the rest of it. They have experience of winning away from home.
In England.
In England, no less. They've won it three times or two times.
They've won it twice.
Twice. And not only that, I think whoever comes out of that group of death at top is going to be so full of confidence. They've got an easier route, and I don't think that they'll fear New Zealand, even though they got spanked by them last time. The time before that, they actually beat them. Yep. So I quite like Australia.
Australia's not a bad shout, but winning that group is such a boon. It's huge to win that group. I can't see past New Zealand.
Do you not think they just have such a history of? I mean, they won a World Cup against an undercooked French team, and arguably they didn't play great.
No.
And they've never done much in previous World Cups. They keep on going out to Australia. Mm. Well, yeah. Australia.
You look down that squad though, and in every department, the experience they've got is unreal.
Yeah, but if we knew the answer, we would. You know,
Kieran Reid, Dan Carter. You could reel off 10 of the best players in the world in their position.
Yeah.
I just can't look past them.
I can't.
No.
I do think they have got some weaknesses in the squad. I think if Dane Coles goes down injured, their struggle as reserve hooker, Neil Armu's a bit past it and his arrows aren't great.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reserve loose head prop, they've probably not got as much depth there. Tony Woodcock's getting on and past him, not great.
Do they meet France at some point?
It depends what happens to France.
If they meet France, they're not winning.
If France win their group, they would theoretically meet them in the final, assuming they both win all the rest of them. If France comes second in their group, they could meet them in the quarterfinal.
I would love France to smoke and drink their way to Rugby World Cup glory. That's my dream.
So is that your... I don't know whether you could count that as a dark horse, but would that be your sort of outside tip for World Cup France?
They've not won many games recently. They turned over England, which is great. Yeah, why not? They're absolutely massive. And I hope they sack their coach just after the group stage.
My dark horse is Ireland. They've got time on their side. They've not played
Phil's
the best.
Phil's dark horse is the world number three team.
Oh, no, they're
five, aren't they?
Dropped
they
dropped to six.
Again.
They dropped to six. Yeah,
seriously.
A bad week second. For Ireland, isn't
All
it?
All right, I take it back.
Amazing, isn't it, when you get out of bed and you've dropped five places in the world ranking. A few weeks ago, you were better than all those other teams.
Yeah, they'd be my... You say dark horse.
Yeah, outside. They're
currently 10 or 12 to 1
to
win the whole thing. But if France win that group, they've got a real good chance.
I generally think it's a little bit of a scandal that England aren't nailed on favourites.
No, New Zealand are
budget,
so good.
Biggest playing base, one of the most competitive leagues, and yeah, the best.
That is just psychologically what you're doing there is you're trying to make it sound like you're being complimentary, but actually you're just being a bitter Welshman.
I'm not bitter. Look, if they win, we are going to do very well out of this podcast. So fingers crossed that they do well.
Obviously, fingers crossed England do well.
Yes. But I don't think they will. I think it's a scandal.
Barbarians 15, then. This is an important topic we've got to do. So of all the players that have been discarded by their international sides, not selected, left at home, left rotting in leagues around the world, can we assemble the finest 15 and just theoretically imagine we were entering them into the World Cup? Yeah. Carl Heyman has said he would love this to happen for real.
Yeah,
I just think he listens to our podcast because we suggested this years ago.
Yeah, Carl's a big fan, yeah. A
couple of years ago.
Well, I can give you some inside information. If you are going to pick this Barbarians team of players not picked in World Cup squads, please do not pick it from last night's Dragons versus Zebra game. Because
I wasn't the first place I was going to look.
Well, the only rugby that I've seen this weekend was that.
Well, I watched Ulster Scarlets this afternoon. It was not a great game.
Yeah, I've already done.
Scarlets had three men sent to the bin throughout the game, and Ulster could not string anything together. Besides Stuart McCloskey, who carried very manfully.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't made the Ireland squad, actually.
He's, last season was kind of a bit of a breakthrough year for him. Mm. So in the coming years, he will do.
In fairness, Connacht versus Glasgow last night was a cracking game.
Although it was, Glasgow were 30 points to 6 up, and then Connacht scored all their tries after
that. Did they?
Yeah, they scored 4 tries after that. They outscored them 4-3.
Foot off the gas.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that I'm done with Pro 12 for the year, so we won't need to discuss it again.
So, Barbarians 15, 1-15 then, players left at home or not unselected, let's pick our best. Loosehead prop.
Who do you go for, Jay?
Who are the contenders?
Hang on, is Heyman tight or loose?
Heyman's tight.
He's tight head.
Huh. And
let's just put Carl Heyman in a tight head.
No.
Well, there's a couple of others. But who I probably would.
I would put in whoever England has left out because they're
Mullen or Corbs.
Yeah, probably Mullen. I really rate Mullen. I think he's a brilliant scrimmager.
I do rate Mullen.
Yeah,
I would probably go for. It was a bit of a shock when he was dropped from New Zealand. Nipo Laulala, who can cover both sides. Loose head for Crusaders. Very good player, and he was dropped for the big chunky guy, the one who weighs 135, Charlie Faumuina.
Faumuina.
Oh, I thought yes. Was it Weenie? Sorry.
He's French.
Sorry. Very confused.
So, and Hooker. Hartley.
Craig Burden of Toulon.
Yeah, he is a nice player.
Although he has been injured this year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Hartley.
Let's go
is,
Hartley.
In international level, Hooker should be playing.
And
anyway.
All New Zealand front row as well. Then
very, if we pick very Hartley. good point.
Second row then, Atwood,
100% Atwood for me.
There's some great depth for the English ones. Atwood, Kirchner, Ed Slater, Murray, Todgie.
There is a significant drop off after Atwood. I do believe.
Any other contenders from around the world?
Well, he's injured, unfortunately. Otherwise, he would be with New Zealand.
Paul Will.
Patrick Tuipulotu.
Oh, Tuipulotu, definitely. But Horwell, surely.
Horwell, yes.
Yeah, of course. Well, Ian Evans.
On, he's not better than Horwell or Atwood.
No, he's not. Horwell and Atwood, he's a very good player. And I think if it wasn't for injury, he'd probably be with Wales.
Mm, yeah.
And I would also give a nod to Rodrigo Capa Ortega of Uruguay.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't like this story, do we?
No, another one where Cast offered him a contract.
One professional player. That's all they've got, one professional player. And they're like, no, you can't go. How's that sound?
You can't go. We're only going to pay you if you don't go. Yeah, I know. I don't like it. It stinks. Mm. Right, so into the back row then. Big Steph.
No,
or Stuart Barnes would actually want to put Dellon Armitage at Openside. Was it an article in the Times?
It was in the Times.
In the Times a couple of years ago, and Stuart Barnes and our favourite rugby journalist, Stephen Jones, who blocked us on Twitter because someone else slagged him off.
And included us in the tweet.
Yeah. I think if you haven't been blocked by Stephen Jones on Twitter for pointing out the ludicrous things he says, then you're not a proper rugby fan.
No.
Anyway, Stuart Barnes picked his future England team a few years ago for this World Cup, and he put Dellon Armitage at Openside. Anyway,
he did also pick Miles Benjamin.
Well, the boy knows a thing or two.
He knows things.
Look, Benjamin has suffered severely from injuries. He's not been able to get his form back. Give him a run of games and he'll be back.
Right, so Stephen Armitage at Openside, or would there be another contender?
I think Openside, there is huge depth in talent that not going to the World Cup. So Marcel Coetzee and Heinrich Brusseau, both of South Africa.
Wow.
Two genuine Opensides. Blair Cowan of Scotland, Johnny Barclay of Scotland.
Blair Cowan?
Well, Matt Cavett.
What?
Blair Cowan was dropped, didn't make that 31.
Oh my God, I just assumed he was in. How?
Nope.
He's been one of their best players.
Yep. Best players for the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm. How?
I think Cotter's a very smart man. I think if he's made the decision, he's one of the guys you would just back to make the right decision.
You trust him to make the right decision. Yeah. It does, looking from the outside in, it does seem an odd decision because he's instrumental. He does everything.
Yeah.
He's a really good all-round player.
Mm.
Okay. Australia, did you know that their Super Rugby teams this season, of the five teams who voted their Players Player of the Year, four of them voted Openside flankers?
Wow.
What a great fact.
Fact.
In David Pocock, Michael Hooper,
Luke
Sean
Gill.
McMahon, and Liam Gill.
Liam Gill.
Liam Gill is the only one of those not in the World Cup squad. So you
best
could...
Openside out of that lot, what do you reckon?
I would go with George Smith.
George Smith as well.
George Smith,
I do think he's a little bit past it.
Yeah.
He's not playing the rugby roles. I'd go Stephen Armitage.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Which would allow me to have Big Dave Ewers at six.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
And then Nathan Hughes at eight.
Brilliant.
Oh, I don't know why I've said that.
Now, Nathan Hughes, this does disappoint me a bit because he's eligible for both Fiji and Samoa.
Mm.
But has opted not to play because he's hopeful of getting an England call.
You can't, in a way,
2016.
Because of the way that funding for rugby is organised, you can understand it because you have a short career, and if you knew you could make enough that you could have a comfortable life for the rest of your days and for your family or whatever, then you can't, or you can play for your native country, have the pride and passion, but
it's very weird.
Doesn't put food on the table.
You nailed it, didn't you? It's a short career,
mm.
Which makes me wonder, why don't you just get your caps now? Get your caps now, get your market value up, get on the international stage. I mean, he's got to wait, I think, another year or so.
It's September 16 is when he'd be available.
September 16. So he's going to be missing 5 years of international... Well, his whole career of international money doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it's worth, if it's worth him playing. But I've always said, I think there should be a single payment for players across tier ones.
If
I'd love
World
that.
Rugby could distribute the sponsorship, take some money off the bigger nations, take some money off the RFU and distribute that evenly. So if you play internationally, Tier 1 especially, you get paid the same. And World Cup, you get paid the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you could sell
that to the nations because you could say, look, we're all going to make more money if the World Cup has 20 competitive teams. And that's the point.
Yeah.
I think you need to sell it to the unions, not as in the players' unions. Because my plan would be there's a fixed amount, say you get however much per game, and then that is uniformed across. However, your union is allowed to keep the excess because these are things that they need to spend on. But the problem would be...
Well, take that concert to launch the World Cup.
But, you know, grassroots rugby and all that nonsense which no one's interested in. So if they did that, then the players' union, I'm sure, would come back and say, well, you're making a little bit too much, we want some more. So it has to be a single amount.
Mm.
So just from Fiji this year, like missing Nathan Hughes, obviously, Waseki Naholo and Naya Rivolo, who are two of the top try scorers this year in Super Rugby. It is a bit annoying, isn't it, that they're not playing.
What's the difference between that and Lee Halfpenny being injured? You just want the best players on the world stage.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Well,
exactly.
The other rule I want is you can play for a tier one and drop down to tier two.
Yes, you've said that before.
Yeah. Once you're in tier two, you can't go back up.
Yeah. I think that's
so.
That's
if you do like one of these one cap All Blacks, so yeah, they cap them and they bin them.
So Nairavolo for Australia, his only cap has come in the meaningless game versus USA.
Yeah,
this year.
So
when they'd already picked the 31 man squad and he wasn't even in it.
I know.
So it does leave a sour taste in the mouth.
I think between three of us, we've pretty much solved world
rugby. Yeah, yes. Do you know what? You get all these expensive guys in blazers. Well, don't get me wrong, but nothing against blazers.
I love a
blazer. But you got them in blazer having their expense account lunches and sitting around, and we three rugby fans in a room can come up with sensible solutions that will enhance the game that we love and make the World Cup that we're about to watch even more enjoyable to watch. What are we doing?
Exactly.
What is going on?
Exactly.
Right. So we're into the backs then. Backs in our Barbarians, World Cup Barbarians 15.
9, I think, is quite easy. In Nick White.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the one I got written down.
Do you know, Joe Simpson would be up there. Francois Hugard of South Africa.
Yeah.
Although he's probably better as a winger. Maxime Machinot of Racing.
Luke Burgess. Played last night for Zebra.
Did he?
So actually, you could pick someone from that awful game.
I wouldn't put him ahead of Nick White.
No.
10?
Sippers.
Yeah, it's a great show.
There must be a better 10 than that. That's not home.
Aaron Cruden misses it through injury.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
He would have been playing. Yeah.
Which means you'd free up Slade or Barrett.
Hey?
Bowden Barrett?
Yeah, possibly. Colin Slade. Well, probably Colin Slade.
How many New Zealanders do we have in this so far?
Quite a few.
The front row.
Yeah, front row.
That's it.
That's okay.
Not so many then.
The one bigger surprise. I don't think he's a better 10 than Sippers, but biggest surprise who didn't make the squad was Ian Keatley of Ireland. Because he plays the way that Ireland play. He plays the kicking, controlling game. He didn't make the squad.
We'll put Sippers in at 10.
Sippers.
Oh my God, England have got so many players in this.
Yeah they have.
Wow.
Well, most of them are suspended because they don't fulfil the right culture profile.
Centres then.
So ignoring JD2. Jonathan Davis.
Yep.
Because he's injured.
Gavin Henson won.
Does Manu count?
Well, is he fit at the moment?
The most interesting... So the story broke about... He's kind of said that he pleaded guilty to get rid of the charges, get it past him. He didn't do what he was accused of doing. But the biggest news... like that's all fine. Ignoring that. The biggest news of that story was that he said he's... most likely not fit until at least Christmas.
Wow.
Oh, my word.
From the same recurring groin injury.
So it could be curtains then.
It's a long time. We saw him October last year against Ulster when he went off injured, but he'd had niggles before that and he's had multiple dates in the diary to come back. He's had at least 4 attempted return dates.
Well, we spoke about last time. He's on 3 return dates.
Yeah. So it's bad. And it's apparently the groin muscle shearing away from the bone.
That sounds nice.
I'm not a doctor, but I can't imagine that's a simple mechanical fix. Like when I had shoulder surgery earlier this year, they were basically just pinning my shoulder down to stop it popping up and out.
Mm.
Mechanically, very simple. That I don't know what you do with it.
No, I don't know. Weld it back?
Can you weld muscle?
I'm sure you. I mean, sounds like good science to me.
Can you pin muscle?
I have no idea. What do you do? I don't know.
Anyway,
so we can't count him then.
Maybe we should have a feature where we get a sports doctor on and we just ask him how to mend various injuries.
I imagine they've got the best medical minds on this.
Yeah. Well, they sent Leicester in the past have sent players over to what's his name? Not Dr. James Andrews, the other one, Stedman.
In America.
Yeah, yeah. And they do things like throw him in freezing pools in Colorado and stuff like that. And it's a weird, weird, weird
sounds
stuff.
Like Warren Gatland.
So what centres are available then?
Well, you could go for 2 English ones in Big Luth and Elliot Daly.
Mm.
Christian Lealiofano.
Oh, yeah.
Very good 12.
Excellent 12.
You could him and Daly would be a nice,
oh, that
nice
would be
partnership. I'd go for that.
Go on then.
Also, Ryan Crotty. Of New Zealand.
Oh, he's got to be in there
ahead of
Daly, surely. With like, he's got caps under his belt for New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
So let's put Crotty in.
And he's such a wonderful player as well.
Yeah. He can play 12 and 13 as well.
Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Lealiofanu and Crotty.
Back I can't believe he's not made the All Black squad. When you're naming some of these players, like,
no.
Who doesn't want Ryan Crotty? Who's he going to sign for?
He's Crusaders. I'm right in saying that, aren't I?
Is he still going to stay in New Zealand?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, he needs to come over and get some cash.
Well, because Nonu and Conrad Smith are both going next year, so
yeah, but
he'll be All Blacks.
Yeah, but he can have 2 years out and then go back and be an All Black and get some cash.
He could do, yeah.
Oh,
back three then. This should be interesting.
Well, we spoke about him earlier. One of my favourite players, future Ulster legend, Charles Piatow.
Mm. Yeah. Christian Wade.
Wade.
100% Wade.
Depends where you play Piatow. You've also got Nairavolo, who we spoke about before, Andrew Trimble, although he's got another injury. Mm. David Schrettl, who's on fine form for Claremont at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah, scored in his first two appearances.
Benders! Benders! Chris Ashton.
Chris Ashton, yeah.
One of my favourite players, full stop.
Israel Dagg, who didn't make the All Blacks.
Oh, my word.
Corey Jane.
Right, let's go with a New Zealand back three, surely.
Christian Wade's playing.
Izzy Dagg and Corey Jane, World Cup winners. And then you've got your
Piatow as well.
Piatow on the other wing.
And we've got,
oh, my God.
And we've got our airline sponsorship wrap covered. Don't need to worry about that anymore.
That is a frightening 15.
Right. Where would that 15 get to? I mean, obviously, it depends on the draw, but you would back that to get out of any group apart from England, Australia, Wales, even in that mix, they'd have a good chance.
And in some of the groups, you'd think that could come out on top, but definitely to come out in second place in any pool, except with the question mark over pool A. But even so, those players—that's frightening team.
Yeah,
I'd back that easy comfortable quarterfinalists,
definitely
possibly semis,
and. Now, they wouldn't have that long together because the teams have only been announced. They have to be announced 2 weeks before the World Cup. So they'd get 2 weeks. Half of that would be on the piss.
Yeah. But a bit of team building.
Maybe that's good for the team
building.
But
they need it.
I mean, the boys play.
Would it be anything worse than saying you're in the Barbarians and now you're going to have to be really po-faced and go to bed at 8 o'clock?
Conditioning. All it is chicken breast.
Yeah.
Porridge and dry rice.
Matthew Bastereau wouldn't have to lie. about what he'd done.
Exactly.
If it was my, you know,
Matthew Bastereau did nothing wrong.
No,
he fell down some stairs.
He lied. He had some drinks. Mike Tindall can chat up who he wants
and toss as many dwarves as he can get
his
hands on.
We'll buy you some dwarves, Mike. Come and have some fun.
Exactly. The Barbarians 15 would be an amazing addition to the World Cup. It will never happen.
Which coach would have it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not Graham Henry, so we've established that. We want a proper old boy, someone who seems like he'd be good fun.
Yeah, real tradition. Like, Jason Leonard should just be the coach.
Jason Leonard.
And like, every year, it should always be Jason Leonard.
We can have a coaching staff, so Jason Leonard, strength and conditioning.
Well, the culture that Martin Johnson engendered for the 2011 World Cup would fit right in with these boys.
It really would, but I tell you who is free and could coach, and I bet would do a good job, Ian McGeechan. This seems right down his street, right?
Geeks and Telfer, get them back together.
There we go.
Oh, well, it will never happen, but it would be an amazing addition to a World Cup.
It would be. And if it would get people watching.
It'd be amazing.
I'm not saying they should do it because you want to grow the smaller nations, but it would get people watching.
Well, do the players that I'd love to see in it, really, or the guys kind of coming towards the end of their career who haven't won one and, like, a bit of a last hurrah, especially if you spent all your time in like a lower nation, like you were the best lock in Scotland for, you know, 10 years, a continual line, but you never got close.
What about if the squad, you've selected a squad, but you, just to make it more interesting and more inclusive, you had to pick a player from like a minimum of 10 different nations,
Allow us, we've already done it.
Well, maybe we can do that next week.
What's that?
Well, we've picked teams. Only having one player from each nation.
Let's do that next week. Yeah, we'll do that next week. But there is our Barbarians 15. The one other thing we've got to look forward to with the Rugby World Cup looming, and as you know from us egg chasers, we aren't all about just the game on the field. We more than anyone else appreciate all the things that go on off the field. Yeah. Whether that's tossing
dwarfs
in bars, or whether that's just, you know, having good banter, as James Haskell would call it.
Absolute banter flying around already.
Lads. And also the kit. So looking at the stash that will be worn on the field, we've already talked about how much we love the blazers worn by the South Africans off the field.
Marvellous.
But on the field, the stash, what is your favourite kit that will be on show in the Rugby World Cup?
Jay?
Argentina. away jersey for me.
The Argentina away jersey is a beautiful thing.
The dark blue, the navy.
Dark. I call it deep blue.
You see, I would pick Argentina if it was their anniversary kit that they wore against South Africa.
Oh, that is...
That was lovely. That but was I'll tell you what, the away one is... I mean, it's the simplicity of the detailing, which really, really makes it sing. The light blue badge, you can't go wrong with it. I don't know if we're going to see it in the World Cup, though. I don't think we are.
Do you know what my favourite one?
Oh, you might... Sorry.
Oh, sorry, go on.
You might do, because it's a coin toss for who's home and away for every game.
Oh, is that right?
So England are playing red in the first game because they lost the coin toss.
Here's a rule. I'm not a bright guy, but here's a rule. If both your home kits do not clash, play in them.
Yes. England-Fiji's do clash.
They do.
I don't know if they could... Well, it was an alternative. If England were playing Samoa, whether they could wear white and blue.
But let's wind our minds back to... last World Cup in the Northern Hemisphere, where Scotland played the All Blacks in identical kits.
Both in their change kits.
That was
ridiculous.
Not at all.
My favourite kit, actually, I think I'm going to give a shout for Japan's.
Now, I like that.
I went into a World Cup shop when I was in London about a month ago.
Lies.
And I had a look at it close up. It's a beautiful kit. It's the thick red hoops, but it also, the hoops get slight, well, it's not full hoops, which I know you don't like, but the hoop part on the front gets slightly narrower as it goes down, giving those Japanese boys who already have quite V-shaped torso physiques even more of that illusion. It's a lovely kit.
It's wonderful. The away version is beautiful as well.
Yeah, the two tones of blue.
Yeah. Mm. Actually, how do you look in your full hoops, Tim?
Oh, well, I wasn't going to bring that up. I didn't want to make you feel bad, JB.
Go on, talk about it.
So I lost my job this week, which is fine. I'm quite comfortable with it. Chris Moyles has taken my job at XFM, and good luck to him.
But you can't throw a ball into a lineout.
No,
you can take that to the bank.
Too right. I think it was a little bit of a feeling sorry for me. Now, I was at XFM in Manchester, and Canterbury are based in Stockport, so in Greater Manchester. And I know that they kind of listen in their office. And Natalie from Canterbury sent me, on the day of my last day on air at XFM, she sent me a little package saying, thought this might make you feel better and get you ready for the World Cup. And it's an England World Cup shirt. So I now have one of those. Proper England World Cup shirt.
And JB has one.
And JB has one, yeah.
Well, me and him have been in detailed negotiations of how I obtained that Bath shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I also got sent a Bath shirt.
Sorry, the full hoops, yeah.
The full hoops of Bath.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful
kit. It is a gorgeous kit.
You know what, if they'd done that to me, fired me on the Friday, and also I got Canterbury staff on the Friday. I think I'm doing a half an hour montage just to Canterbury.
So lock yourself in the studio.
Thank you, Canterbury. Yeah, it'll do like an Alan Partridge Alpha Papa, but just
yes,
just talk about my kit. So thank you very much. That did make me feel better, and the Bath kit is lovely. But anyway, Phil, your favourite World Cup kit?
Well, mine is France. I love the Argentina, but mine is the
French change kit,
home and away. Oh. I love them both. I think I prefer the away kit, to the point where I actually tried to tweet Adidas Rugby's Twitter account saying I just gave them a beautiful picture of it was Morgan Parra.
Oh, I saw that. I was wondering what you were up to.
Wearing it because it had the little England badge on the chest, and I said, how would one acquire such a fine piece of kit, particularly with the England badge on the chest?
Oh, that would be nice.
And they just ignored me. So if anyone knows anyone at Adidas,
I would say that's its downfall.
I love that little detail.
I'll tell you where it's come from. It's come from Bath, right? Where Bath used to put the capped players' nation on the collar.
Yeah,
right?
They were the first to do it, I think.
Wonderful touch. But the problem is, if you're an international team, you can't really do that.
Well, the France team
could do country of origin.
Well, and Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's what it's for. But it shouldn't be your opposition. I mean, that's just silly. I don't mind it stitched underneath the badge.
I misunderstood you for a minute. I thought you were tweeting Adidas to try and blag a shirt. You were just trying to say you actually want that little detail. You'd be happy to get a shirt, but you just want that detail.
Both. If they can give me one like that and I have to pay for it, I would do it. I want that shirt.
Because you can't get one.
Because you can't get it. I want that shirt with that detail on. Yeah. I would happily pay the 65 quid or whatever it is for it.
I would say...
If they send me one, Tim, all the better.
If I was Adidas, I'd write you a letter saying, "Dear Mr. Logan, in order to acquire this shirt, you have to go through an academy system in the south of France, become the best scrum
South half... Africa.
Yeah.
Become the best scrum half in the top 14, etc., 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 etc. That's what I'd do.
Okay.
So... there we go. There's some kit to watch out for. There's some beautiful kits on show. I don't really want to get negative, but there are a couple I don't like. A
couple of stinkers.
Go on.
There's a couple of stinkers. It's, well, Wales, really.
I think that's the worst of the worst.
USA's not great either.
What? No, USA normally have good kits.
I think it's quite nice. It's not American for me. I just want a big American flag across.
Yeah.
I want them sponsored by Harley Davidson.
And a bigger eagle.
Yeah, a much bigger eagle.
A full eagle on the back with wings stretching
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But what do they make it like? Like a leather jacket that bikers in Sons of Anarchy would wear with just a big eagle across the back.
And I tell you, a nice detail.
Tassels on it.
a nice detail on it. Do you know, like the old St. George's crosses that they had on the England kit? Little eagles on top of the big eagle.
Georgia have that.
Have they?
Have you seen the Georgia logo? It's like a. It's very difficult to describe. It's a circle with like swooshes formed into like a bit of a flower.
Yeah, yeah.
They have that like the George's cross on the England shirt, almost imprinted into it.
So we know that the technology's there.
The technology exists.
Yeah, so I'd have little eagles everywhere. And also I'd have some sort of ode to freedom somewhere. Sense of freedom. Yeah, freedom on freedom on the arms.
Talking about kind of words and meanings and stuff, the one thing I'm going to be disappointed about, once again, I'm so excited about the World Cup. I can't wait for Friday night. It can't come soon enough. England against Fiji. But again, I'm going to be so excited. It's in our own country. Mm-hmm. It's at Twickenham. And then the national anthem's going to start. And I don't care, even if you're the most royalist, traditionalist Englishman, it's just a damp squib for me, that world. I don't know.
I think once they start belting out, you'll probably change your mind. Mm. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it as it stands, but when they do sing it, it's not too bad.
I just thought I'd read you what the first paragraph translation of Fiji's national anthem, just for, you know, God Save Our Queen versus Blessed Grant, O God of Nations, on the Isles of Fiji, as we stand united under noble banner blue, and we honour and defend the cause of freedom ever, onward march together, God bless Fiji. I mean, if you were singing something like that about England, then you'd want to go out.
That to me just sounds like word soup. That just sounds like a load of words which have been hastily assembled into some sort of order.
I like that. I think that's...
And then the chorus is, for Fiji, ever Fiji, let our voices ring with pride. For Fiji, ever Fiji, her name hail far and wide. I mean, my hairs on the back of my neck are standing up just saying that.
I mean, I don't know how it sounds. But no.
Well, it'll sound Fijian, presumably.
I assume it will. I tell you that the anthem I could play for, even though I wholeheartedly agree with everything that it stood for, is the old Soviet anthem. That was amazing.
Well,
it was good, actually.
I have Russia aren't at the...
Are they not?
No, they're not.
Shame they had a good kit.
They had
a lovely kit.
That could be the best kit in the World Cup.
I might wear that next week for the England game. Maybe not.
I'll probably be wearing... I don't have a Uruguay kit, do I? Oh, well.
You have an England kit signed by Chris Robshaw, Jay.
Yeah, I'm getting that framed and giving it to my dad. So that's the end of that one.
Right. Listen, keep listening to the podcast because we've got an exciting opportunity for you to get tickets for Wales against Australia. Join our Fantasy League. Find out the details on Facebook and at Twitter at Rugby Podcast. And get in touch at Rugby Podcast and give us your thoughts. We will be, let me remind you, doing the podcast. We're going to try and get it recorded straight after Fiji match with our initial reaction and instant feedback. And we'll be doing that from the International Rugby Centre, a.k.a. JB's basement. Mm-hmm. Exciting times ahead. Let's enjoy the World Cup and let's spread the word of it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Egg chasing. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Top stuff, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
Bye-bye.
Absolute banter flying around already. Lads.